Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for being with me in this worship service today. I'm Pastor Clarence William Page, and I thank the Lord for allowing me to interact with you in this kind of arrangement where we are worshiping Him, Almighty God, in spirit and in truth. I call your attention to the Old Testament book of Ruth, R-U-T-H, in the Holy Bible, the Old Testament book of Ruth. And in the Old Testament book of Ruth, the reading begins at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, thank you for this day, for life itself, for health itself, for strength itself. Thank you for ministry and for fellowship. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And it is in spirit and in truth that this worship is offered unto thee this day in Jesus' name. Amen. The initial reading at the opening of our service was from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. That was Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. And now, hear the reading of Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was a kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, and gave to her that she had reserved, after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where routest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. For a short while, my friends, let's worship together using the theme, Decisions at the Intersection. Decisions at the Intersection. Decisions at the Intersection. In our scripture, we have a number of people, a husband, a wife, two sons, from Bethlehem, Judah, and there are problems in terms of their economics there. Apparently people are suffering there badly economically, and so they decide to move to Moab. And in Moab, they're there for a while, and the husband dies. The wife is left with the two sons. The two sons marry women of Moab, and they're there for a number of years, and then the two sons die. And so the mother's left with her daughters-in-law. So now she's in a strange land. Her husband has passed away. Her two sons have passed away. So there are three women, Naomi and the wives of her two sons, the widowed wives of her two sons. So Naomi now decides to go back to her hometown. But the wives of her two sons are from Moab. And so she tells them to go back to their mother's home and live with them. And Orpah, first of all, they are both saddened to be separated from their mother-in-law. Apparently they loved her. But Orpah decides to go back. But Ruth refused to go back. She decided that she was going to stay with her mother-in-law no matter what happened. So they go back to Bethlehem, Judah, and you know, a lot of times you don't know what's going to happen or what you're going to find when you get there. But as God would have it, Ruth and Naomi both found favor there. And as it was, you probably know Jewish history that there is the kinsman redeemer who must at least consider taking in a widowed woman in many cases from the family, the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz happens to be that person. So here we have these decisions that were made. Naomi didn't know what she was going to find when she got back. She had heard that they had food there, that God had blessed them. And certainly with a stranger, Ruth from Moab, it wasn't going to be easy for her normally, based upon the history of those two peoples. When I say those, the Moabites and the people of Bethlehem, Judah. But Ruth made up her mind that she would stick with her mother-in-law. And I don't want to say luckily, but blessedly, her mother-in-law served the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the true and living God. And so when she got back to her mother-in-law's people with her mother-in-law, even though she was a stranger, as she herself admitted, she found favor there. God gave her favor there. And God can do that. Some of you have had to make decisions and you didn't know what the outcome would be. And we don't know. Ruth did not know what the outcome would be. Even Naomi didn't know. She had encouraged Ruth to go back to her people. That would have seemed like the easier road. They were at the intersection. And Naomi apparently was trying to make the best decision at the intersection. And there are times when you will find yourself at the intersection and you're saying, what is the best thing? And apparently in the mind of Naomi, the best thing to do would have been for Orpah and Ruth to return to their own people and for her to return to her people. That's logic. That's logic. That's logical. Go to where you'll be welcome. Go back to your people. Go to where you know. Go to what you know. Go to where your customs are. Go to the people that brought you up. Go back to them. But is that always the best way? Is that always the best way? Decisions at the intersection. You come to a crossroad. You come to a place of two roads, and you wonder which road to take. You look down one, and you look down the other one, and you're wondering, what is going to be the best road for me? Apparently that's what Naomi did. In her mind, the best road for Orpah was to go back to the people of Moab. The best road for Ruth was to go back to the people of Moab. But that wasn't what was in the mind and heart and spirit of Ruth. That's strange. Why not go back to your own people? Why not? That's the road that Orpah took. That's the best road, the easiest road. The question is the easiest road always the best road? Is the logical road always the best road when you're making decisions at the intersection? Decisions at the crossroad. There are roads in life. There are decisions to be made. How on earth do you make them? How can you be sure what you will encounter when you take one road as opposed to the other? How do you know where your success lies? Is it down this road or is it down that road? Where does your success lie? Does failure lie down one road and success the other? And if that's true, which one is it? How can you know? There was a man named Robert Frost. He wrote a poem called The Road Not Taken. He became a famous American poet, one of the most famous American poets. Of course, it took him a long time getting started. Sometimes when you start out, it takes a long time. As a matter of fact, people in America at first didn't receive him or think much of him. Then he moved to Europe, and God gave him success there. And when he came back to America, the people were glad to welcome him back. A lot of times the people who know you won't think much of you. Sometimes you got to move, you got to go somewhere else. It would have seemed logical that his own people would have embraced him as he wrote poetry. But a lot of times people won't admit that you're who you are. So he went to Europe. And when he came back, oh, they embraced him. And later on, they venerated him. They honored him for being a great poet. How do you know which road to take? He wrote a poem. Robert Frost wrote a poem titled The Road Not Taken. In The Road Not Taken, he says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as far that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves, no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. That's the road not taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bit in the undergrowth, then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. That's the poem, The Road Not Taken, by Robert Frost. Again, he was at an intersection of two roads, and you can only see so far. He looked down one, and then he chose one. You got to choose one. He said he thought he had taken the one less traveled by, but actually they'd both been traveled. You may say, well, when I'm making a decision, I'll follow Robert Frost. I'll take the road less traveled by. But that is not the purpose of my reading this to you this day, my friend. The road less traveled by is not always the best road. Now, one would think so, and when you think Christian-wise, the Bible tells us that the broad way is full, and then there's the narrow way. And so from that perspective, you would say, well, I'm always going to take the narrow way. Well, you should take the sinless way, because normally the broad way is going to be full of sin. But there can be ways or roads that are about the same. So how do you choose? And the answer is, you consult God. You pray. You listen for God's guidance. Just because a lot of people went down that way does not necessarily mean that God does not want you to go down that way. He may have sent a lot of saints that way. He wants you to go and minister to them. There was a man when I was in New Jersey who was a refugee from Haiti, and he came to the U.S. as a refugee, and there were many other Haitian refugees also, and he happened to come to our church, and we embraced him, and I helped him and tried to take him under my wings. He was a minister in terms of him being here and not from here. And as a minister, he and his wife were here. They had left their children in Haiti. And so we tried to help him as much as we could in our church. But he found out that there were a lot of Haitians who had gone to France, to a place called Alphaville, France. Alphaville, France. And there was no pastor there. And so the Lord put in his heart to go to Alphaville and pastor that Haitian group of people that were in Alphaville, France. And so our church embraced his mission that he had communicated, that he believed God wanted him to do. And we got him all set up, and we helped him get his documentation and all the things he needed, and we sent him off to France. He went to Alphaville, and he ministered there for many years. That's the road that the Lord had him go. We don't know how the Lord is going to send us, and we can't always take the road less traveled by, because the road less traveled by might not be the road that God wants us to take, and God can make us successful on whatever road he chooses for us. You must always remember, oh, it's good to say I took the road less traveled by, but the real road to take when you are at the intersection making choices, is the road that Almighty God says take. That's why, my friend, should always be in contact with the Lord. You should always be in prayer, be prayed up, always listening for the Lord, watching for indications from the Lord in terms of what He wants you to do and where He wants you to go. Oh yeah, two roads can diverge in a yellow wood. And you might stand saying, well, I can't travel both. And since I'm one traveler, I'll stand here and look down one as far as I can. But I can't see but so far. That's why you need God. God sees all the way. He sees it every. He sees everything. He knows not only the present. He knows not only the road, but He knows the future. And He can make the road what He wants it to be. He can make the trip whatever He wants it to be. He can make your arrival whatever He wants it to be. And He can make you whatever you He wants you to be. And so we don't just go on reason. We say, well, I'm going to take the road less traveled by. The road less traveled by could lead into a wilderness where there's no water and no food. You don't know, but God knows. That's why God is indispensable. You may have read Robert Frost's poem and said, well, it sounds like to me he's saying that that makes all the difference. But what really makes the difference is God. Who really makes the difference for your future is God. That's the decision. And if you don't know Him, you're in danger of standing at the intersection and making the wrong choice. If you don't know God, Ruth came back to a place where she was a stranger. But God was in the business. And God used her. And God gave her favor. God can give you favor wherever He wants to give you favor. God can give you favor wherever He wants to give you favor. Look here in Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. You will need to read the background and the context. You can read, most of you. If you can't, you know someone who can. Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 13 and following. Ruth, chapter 4, verses 13 and following. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So I've read to you Ruth chapter 4. Verses 13 through 22. And if you know anything about Jewish history and about Christian history, Obed begat Jesse, And Jesse begat David the king. And Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born of this lineage. You see it in Luke chapter 2. Joseph, the earthly legal father of Jesus, was of the lineage of David. So this Moabitess woman who was told, go back to your people, but she chose the God way and became an ancestor of the earthly expression of the earthly Emmanuel through Joseph. When you stand at the intersection of the crossroads, when you stand making decisions at the intersection, make sure you have consulted God and make sure you obey God. Robert Frost said in the final stanza of his poem titled The Road Not Taken, I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. I say unto you, my friend, you take the one that God tells you to travel, and that will make all the difference. Let us pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for Ruth. Thank you for what you did for Naomi. And thank you for what you've taught us, that you make all the difference. Hallelujah. And now, Father God, these who are listening, if any are not saved, so that you might make all the difference in their lives, save them. Save them. Save them. Help them to repent. Deliver them from the clutch of the evil one. And help them to come unto thee in repentance and save them. And bless their lives here on planet Earth as they live and move and have their being. Cause them to live and move and have their being to your great glory. And cause it to redound to their great good. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My friend, once you know that you are saved, contact a Christian minister and our ministry. Request and receive Christian baptism. Christian baptism is very important. Once you have received Christian baptism, the Lord will send people to help you. Let us look unto the Lord and be dismissed. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.